Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fan Experience TV, the Austin 316 edition. Honorable shout out to Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin 316, yeah. One of the best wrestlers to ever perform in the WWF/WWE. We are on episode 67. This TV show is brought to you by Playing the Field. Playing the Field is a sports fan community and dating app. It's made exclusively for sports fans. We want to help that college freshman that's going away to school, help him find friends quicker to talk sports with or go to games with somebody else that, in their circle, or help a hardworking mom that wants to, you know, start a softball team on a weeknight, and also to help a hopeless romantic form a deeper connection with somebody that shares in their common sports fan lifestyle. As always, I am your host, Mike Kados, and alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how we doing?
Oh, doing well, Mike. There is so much going on. We have a lot to get into. Sports world is buzzing, but we're going to hold off on that for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And we're going to interview our first guest coming up, our old friend, Max Monterey.
Yep. Max, welcome back to the show.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. And I'm just fortunate to be here with how far you guys have come. I don't remember that music in the intro last time.
It was not. I'm pretty sure. No. I think you were episode 7. Now we're on 67. So things have changed.
I was the Ocho. Come on. I was the Ocho.
That's right. You were the Ocho. Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So I was one off. All right.
No, it's all good.
All good. Yeah, obviously we got new backgrounds.
Yep.
I know.
Behind us and just the whole thing in a
whole.
I'm just
trying to keep up with you guys. Seriously. Like I got a long ways to go.
Obviously, we had you on early on mm-hmm. episode 8, and we talked about Sports Trees, and you were developing it, and you were ready to get it out there to the masses. Mm-hmm. The biggest update that you got for us is you guys launched a couple of weeks ago. You had your launch party last week. Tell us about Sports Trace and just share it with our audience again.
Yeah, I finally got to get some sleep this past weekend. We had the launch party last Thursday. Totally right about that. And we got in the App Store. It's a funny story about that because you hear the horror stories about getting into the App Store. So we're like, we should push it and just see if we run into any roadblocks just in case. We ran into no roadblocks and ended up there 3 weeks early. So we didn't tell anybody about it. So technically, we've been there since February. Okay. But yeah, now everybody can have their biomechanical motion capture lab in their pocket. Like, I know while we were tuning up for the show, Rick got in there. I know he doesn't necessarily have any videos to upload yet.
No, not at all. I'm fully loaded over here, though. But
perfect,
go.
Perfect. You know, but we got... What do we got in there right now? We got the video management component is in there. We got the analytics, so all of the data, all of the telestration on top of the videos. We have the recommendations. You have to upload a few videos to get those recommendations back so we can see the consistency of form. Mm-hmm. And we have the compare. For golfers, we have the pro compare in there right now. And in a couple of days, we're going to have the baseball players. So you'll be able to compare them against one another. Things that are coming, we already have a roadmap, of course, but we're using this to actually drive the solution we had for teams before, our web-based solution, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah, and what's cool is, you know, so you can you tape the videos on the app, but you don't have to, right?
That's right,
You could upload anything that you want.
Record them live, you could take a video you took a while back. One of my favorite demos is actually, there's a video playing on my computer and I take a video of it with my phone. And then I analyze that one and it comes out like solid, which it's like inception for videos. It doesn't make any sense.
Max, that's awesome.
Congratulations on all the success. So tell us who's been reaching out to you. Obviously it's baseball and golf, but tell us some of the people who've been reaching out to you regarding your technology in the app.
So good news. We've got some contracts signed. I don't think I mentioned this last time around, for Rice and Stanford, which is really good. Hey. We did some work. Auburn, University of Texas. We did some work with some golf training centers. And when we went into conference season, we got a lot of interest, more interest from golf, more interest abroad, interest from cricket and tennis as well. And I think this week I just met a gentleman. He wants to do some gait analysis for his running store. So that's all been really good. But what was surprising, I think since last we spoke, a Premier League team had reached out and actually asked if they could do a pilot. We've been working on some stuff there, which this is going to sound strange also. This has actually turned into more on the physical therapy side, because some physical therapists have reached out to us too. At the very beginning of the year, we were at a conference for you know, clinicians and physicians, which is really neat.
That's incredible. Now, obviously, football is a major sport in America.
I know.
Are you guys going to set up some where quarterbacks can watch as their throwing form, wide receivers and defensive ends watch their technique? Is that all coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, we were watching, I think it was a Monday night game, Buffalo's playing, Josh Allen was there, and they were talking about how he'd worked on his form and technique, and it was 100% kinematic sequence. One of the first things that you're going to see in the app is the ability to measure that and firing mechanisms. What comes first, right? Your hips, then your shoulders, then your elbows, and then your hands. It needs to be a whip-like motion. So they were talking about exactly that for quarterbacks. And we can do that right now. So yeah, we're working hard on that as well.
That is incredible. Great work, man.
Thank you.
You get to have some quick frame rates for Dak Prescott's warm up.
For the dancing. Yeah.
That guy goes ham on the workouts. But he got paid. That little hip thrust got him a lot of money last week. So tell us about the launch party. Tell us about the launch party, how fun it was, and what was entailed, what everyone got to experience.
It was a lot of fun, right? I live in Seattle. You guys both know I'm from the East Coast. Right now, I'm actually in Missouri. So it was shortly after we last spoke, we got a grant. I think I might have even mentioned on the last show. We came down here. I drove straight down to Missouri, middle of the pandemic, got an apartment here. So I've been splitting time between here and home. They had lifted mask restrictions here. So we were able to have a pseudo non-socially distance launch party, which was neat. For sure, everybody needed it. And it was as much a celebration of the community here, the First 50K community, the Codify community, the general community down here in Southeast Missouri, as well as Sports Trace app launch, in all honesty. But we had games. We were like, hey, we could do some stuff. Let's not just have food. Let's have games too. So we had a long putt competition. We were asking people to download the app. They were doing their long putts. And if they sunk one, they got a hat. I got a guy, he's around the corner from where I am right now. He makes these hats by hand, so it's pretty cool. And I'm gonna send you guys them.
Yep. I'm gonna rock it on the show.
It's coming.
Yeah, and it's a snapback too. So
I
haven't worn one of those in a minute. So
I got the fitted right here.
But it is a pretty sweet hat. So we'll shoot you over the address to send them over to. And looking forward to rocking that one of these shows for sure. What was that? I just lost my train of thought. So it's available on iOS. It's available on Android.
That's right.
And it's available to anybody and everybody. You don't have to have a team. You could just literally just be your own individual person that wants to work on his softball swing or his golf swing, you can go and upload the videos right now.
Yep, absolutely can. And right now it's actually free for the next 30 days. So get in there.
Coaches, like for soccer coaches, any kind of coach can just sign up and they can take advantage of it. Let me ask you this, Max. Like, obviously people are reaching out to you, but are you having people go out and talk to teams and talk to people about your app and sign up?
We do. We had a really good pipeline of teams, both the professional and college level folks that we continue the conversation with. First of all, we're just glad that they're back on the field, as you guys no doubt are. When last we spoke, people were just getting back onto the field to play across all sports, right? Yeah. So this is a really good time, especially like baseball, softball, golf are primary markets. This is the first time some of them have been back in a while. So they're a little preoccupied at the same time. We're always happy to talk with them, impart any insight there. So we do a little outbound with that. We do a little outbound with facilities as well, both golf training facilities and baseball, softball training facilities. So, we're talking a lot to folks all the time.
That's great. That's great, man. And this is, it's just incredible. I signed up. It was pretty quick. So for anybody who thinks it's cumbersome, no, you sign in, you go to the site itself. You can sign up. Yeah. You can start downloading pictures and taking pictures of yourself right away. So that's a great thing. You're US right now. Where do you see the projected growth of the company? 5-10 years? Do you see yourself being a public company?
Yeah. Wow. That would be fun.
Listen, you got to, what is that old saying? Nobody remembers the timid, only the bold. You got to go out there. So
favor the bold. I agree. We absolutely want to be the number one analytics provider in sports. We absolutely think that video is a place that we can leave our mark in a very profound manner. Over the next 3 years, we will be rolled out not just to the sports that we started with and that I've mentioned today, but we want to go through all territorial sports. Again, I have folks coming to me who have literally just invented some sports. I'm not even making that up. Some of the craziest things you could think of. But beyond that, we've had conversations about the ideas of fan engagement. I think we mentioned that last time. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, like physical therapy, I think that we could do a lot of good there, in all honesty. Yeah. I feel like that's an area we can help.
Yeah, that man, that's just great. Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. And another friend of the show was chiming in before the show and on our comments, you saw, and Pete Klein wants to try to utilize Sports Trace for action tennis. I think that is a perfect application for Sports Trace, because I need to know how to jump over barrels in the proper manner before I break my face.
Mike doesn't play enough Donkey Kong.
You don't know about that. Yeah, that's back in the day. Yeah.
But that's a lot of thumb motion. Like, I actually have to use my legs in this situation.
Like I said on LinkedIn to Pete, absolutely, let's make it happen. To everybody else, absolutely, let's make it happen. Any friend of the program is obviously a friend of mine. So
awesome.
For sure.
Yeah. And it was, if you're ever back on the East Coast, you got to play a game with us, because me and Rick are going to,
we're wearing helmets and knee pads, and it's just going to be ugly. What it's going to be.
Like we were talking about before the show, we got to get the Sports Trace relationship analysis. When some man or woman goes in for that special moment with their significant other.
Yes, exactly. Like
we gotta make that happen, and off the program.
The G-rated special. The G-rated. Moment. You know, we're talking about first kiss. We're not talking about anything past that.
This is like the no talkies, silent movie, black and white. Yes.
You know who would be good for you to connect with? The guy that owns Kiss Cam, because you get people who Kiss Cam all the time.
That's right.
So they go in for the kiss on Kiss Cam, and then they could take it, and then they could break it down on your app and be perfect.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Like, ooh, her body language said
she pulled away. Not good. We'll have a bunch of guys announcing it on that.
We're cringing us on it.
Hey, that's some like awesome marketing material, though. You got to have that funny stuff. That's what people remember. You know what I'm saying? So definitely when people start making connections on the app and they're going in for the kiss, I'm going to be like, Sports Trace, let's go.
Spin it up.
So you have an offices in Seattle and Missouri. You're gonna have both sites. Okay.
Yep. For now, that's what we got going on, which has been great for us. Our office here in Missouri is very central to everything. Obviously, my home's in Seattle, and I got my house back in Jersey too. So I haven't been back east though in a while. Like I said, when I get back there, we gotta meet up. Come on.
Yeah, 100%, man.
We gotta grab a drink.
Let me ask you this. So obviously, New York is becoming a tech hub. Have you thought of maybe doing something in the tri-state area? Has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, it's funny. Like back in the day when I was there developing things down on Wall Street, it really wasn't, right? Because finance, fashion, advertising. And at the time, they just weren't ready. And that's fine. But now every company is a tech company. So it is basically number two behind Silicon Valley. It has leapfrogged other huge hubs out there. Always give it some thought. My heart's in New York. That's where we got to Seattle from. I mean, absolutely.
Listen, if the company goes public, you can right there. You know,
that's right. Yeah, just walk down the street.
You go ring the bell on your lunch break.
Man. Yeah,
just walk down past South Street and just take a right. It's no problem.
Go. Yeah.
Is it number two? It's above Austin, New York.
Yeah. Check out. So a couple things for us. So one, you guys go into Sport Techie State of the Industry next week.
Where's that being held?
That's going to be virtual this year again. We're going to be exhibiting there. Check that out, because our friends from Sports Tech X are about to publish their annual Sports Tech Startup kind of state of the industry report for North America. They just published for Europe. And my bet is on New York still being number two. I believe it was number two last year as well.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, shoot us over the link for that. Cause
Okay. Sports Techie events.
Yeah.
Got it.
When is it? What day is it? It's like a whole week thing or?
Sports Techie State of the Industry is next Wednesday and Thursday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. It's March 24th, 25th.
Always great to pop in. They always have amazing speakers. They have some really good exhibitors this year. Like me.
I could tell. We got a sneak peek at one of their best exhibitors.
There you go.
We got him on.
Max, let me ask you this. The Olympics are coming up. Is it this year or next year that they're going to do it? Do you know?
I think they had rescheduled to the Winter Olympics at the end of this year.
Any Olympians reach out to you guys or anything like that?
We had some early conversations with that around broadcast, and we had some other conversations around athlete performance. But with a lot of the uncertainty around it, we've been staying away. Okay. But you never know, right? You never know.
Yeah, never know. Absolutely. That is good. I want to ask you this. Obviously, baseball, football, you can do any sports.
Sure.
MMA, boxing,
I like it from the formal aspect, for sure. It might be more in some of the training exercises.
Okay, right? Okay.
What's really interesting is a lot of the folks we've been talking to, they have this idea. And hear me out. Y'all know that going on YouTube, I can search for the fan experience.
Yep.
And I can find you guys' podcasts. I can find all the webinars.
TV show.
All the stuff you guys have done. Exactly. That's right. I forgot. I'm IMDb famous now.
Yeah, you are. You're Hollywood, Max.
Yeah, you're listed on two.
I have real credits. I got real credits.
Yeah.
When you guys go on there to search for that, you're competing with, dare I say, other far more inferior TV shows, but also like videos of cats and movie trailers and whatever. So the folks that make like training videos that say, hey, this is a really specific exercise to fix a really specific problem in your swing, problem in your pitching delivery, problem with your driver, right? Whatever. They're having trouble because they have the same competitive issues there. What we're saying is that we can deliver your recommendations much more directly. Like, we know the person has this issue and we're giving them the exact recommendation to deal with it. So we've cut out the whole middleman. You don't need to be like a YouTube star if you produce this content. We can deliver it to the right people as long as they sign up for our app.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like this app is going to make me an even more controlling father. Like, when my daughter's at the bat and she's got a hitch in her swing, I tell her, because I can see it with my two eyes, and she doesn't want to believe me. I'm like, now we're going to Sports Trace, and I'm going to show you exactly what I saw. So thank you, Max.
That's a little extreme. That's a little extreme, but all right. Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah,
it's Max's fault. It's not mine.
Yes,
Max created the technology.
For sure.
I just used the technology. Facebook and all the other things.
Max, this is incredible. There's an app now for it. The changes in technology, the way I just think it's going to keep evolving. And I honestly don't see why in 5-10 years your company isn't, you know, these top companies. I really don't. Anybody who's everybody now can actually, a father can record his son and say, okay, let's work on your swing and do that. Whereas 20 years ago, it was a video recorder, or they couldn't actually break it down. They had to put it in a VCR or put it in a DVD. Now it's right on your phone. It's incredible.
And I'm just trying to hustle as hard as you guys doing it.
Man, you're doing great work.
Amazing work.
And it's true. Like I said this before last time I came on, we can't replace coaches. That's not a possibility. It's not a real thing. We just want to make it easier for them. If we could show them, hey, you should look at this video. And for the people that don't have a coach there, hey, you should look at these recommendations on how to get better. Then I feel like we're doing our job because everybody just wants to get better.
Yeah.
And
the great part about it is, even on the pro level, obviously they have video now, but they can right away, if there's a hitch or something wrong, instead of the video where it doesn't really break it down, this can do it exactly for them. For their next at bat, they can fix their whatever's wrong with them.
How'd you get into a slump without watching 100 hours worth of video?
Yeah.
It's right there for you. This is a little bit different.
I'm
waiting for baseball broadcast to have the Sports Trace app showcased right on a home run swing.
That would be fun. Don't worry, maybe we'll run out our opening day campaign again this year and do a bunch of the pros. This time we'll have the compare inside of the app. So
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. Sure.
Yeah. The analyze Francisco Lindor. He hit a home run today. There we go. I got it. I got in my Lindor plug. We're good.
Yeah. He's got a shirt on instead of Syndergaard, right?
Exactly. Yeah. He's not flexing muscles. But if you can do DJ LeMahieu on the Yankees, if you do LeMahieu, because I think he's the best hitter in baseball, if you can do him, that'd be great.
It's true. Yeah. All right. We'll do a little Lindor LeMahieu. I got
you. There we go.
I got you.
So
side by side.
And it's obviously this is Rick's favorite subject, analytics and stuff like that. But everybody go. It's out. It's available. Sports Trace on the iOS store, on the Android app store.
Sports Trace, there it is.
It's so easy to sign up. Even Rick can do it.
Yeah, and I'm
there's your one-liner, okay?
Yeah.
There's your one-liner.
I'm rolling it out to investors.
There we go. Listen, private equity firms, hedge funds out there, if you're looking to invest and you're watching our show, contact Max at the Sports Trace.
We will definitely pick up that call.
Yes, 100%.
So what's your next plans? I know you're going from Missouri back to Seattle.
Give us your thoughts
on this Russell Wilson stuff, since I know you're not a Seahawks fan, but I'm sure you hear a lot of it.
Wait, what did I miss outside of the fact, doesn't he own part of the Kraken, or did I miss something else?
No, about him getting traded.
Wanting to get traded.
No, he doesn't want to get traded, but he has teams on his list. But it's just, it's not a healthy situation out there in Seattle right now.
That's a strange turn of events for essentially like the prodigal son of Seattle. And let's be honest, they've done an okay job of surrounding him with talent. But if you think about a guy that went to back-to-back Super Bowls from what great heights they've fallen, honestly, like good competitive team every year, like great revenue generator. Now they got Metcalf along with the existing core of receivers. That was really good for them, but they never really put it together in the backfield. And that offensive line was respectfully, because I don't know about 300-pound dudes, but like, they weren't keeping anybody really safe back there. Guy was bouncing
around.
Yeah,
they definitely need some sports traits to work on their technique.
Give them a little bit of form and technique, and this is how you block. The end of the season could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, losing to a guy with four fingers was a little
tough.
Rough.
Yeah,
when you lose to a guy with no thumb, that's a problem.
Guy got traded for
they're like, that's what that earned you. Yeah,
it's like you beat Russell Wilson with four fingers. We're sending you to Detroit.
football purgatory.
You know, I don't know what's worse than that. I guess to East Rutherford.
Hey, come on now. Come on. Be nice.
Oh, man. All right, Max, it was an absolute pleasure to have you back on. And of course, you're always welcome anytime.
Max, everybody, congratulations on the success, man. Great work.
Appreciate it.
And for our fans, keep an eye out for those hats because we'll be wearing them on this show hopefully in a couple weeks.
They're coming. Give me the address. They're coming.
Yes, I'm going to shoot you an email with the address.
Perfect. Guys, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Max, thank you, man.
Have a good one, Max.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
We need to do sports trades for the show. Like, we need to break down our form when we're talking.
We do. And that's what I was thinking
about.
Let's
do that. We're going to do that. We got to do that. We got to do a sports trade for the show.
We should. But as aspiring broadcasters, we want to try to improve our craft, correct?
Correct. We are the media now. So for those of you out there who are watching, by the way, we're trying to get media credentials. So anybody in the media watching us, who can assist us in that cause, it'd be greatly appreciated. If you can return an email, for God's sakes.
Yes, please. Any advice that you have, please send it our way. FanExperience@playingthefield.io. It would be much appreciated.
And also hit me up on Instagram at @whoa_man2010.
Or at FanExperiencePod.
Yeah, so, FanExperiencePod. Help the cause.
So we are aspiring broadcasters, and joining us now is another aspiring broadcaster. She's doing amazing things. She is a student at the University of Alabama, and she is working hard all the time. And it is our pleasure to introduce Arielle Schaefer. Arielle.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. It actually worked out perfect timing because I had practice and then I had tutoring for my theory class. So I'm in grad school, so I'm taking law, like theory and journalism, which is very crazy and stuff. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late for this podcast. So I'm so sorry. We had practice in tutoring, so it was just all this together. So
No worries.
All good. You made it. You're here. So I know you're going to school in Alabama now, but where were you born and raised? Yeah, where do you come from?
Okay, so I was born and raised in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Ah, okay, here we go.
Yes, so I'm a Jersey girl. I love the North. I love the South, but I love pork roll, and I love Wawa, and I love the Phillies. I love the Sixers, but I hate the Eagles.
So we'll get into that, okay.
So I was born and raised there. I played competitive basketball all my life, and I was recruited actually for basketball in college. But then in high school, I needed a spring sport, so I tried rowing, and I'm here at the University of Alabama on a scholarship here to row. It's my fifth year. I took the extra year of eligibility that the NCAA provided for us last year with COVID. Yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm a rower at Alabama. We have a pretty decent football team, I would.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we've heard of a team. We've heard something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard.
I think we have a pretty decent basketball team too, I would say.
Yeah, a couple of Final Fours. Yeah.
Okay, 100%. We're one of the only schools that have a men and women's basketball like team in the tournament. So that's like pretty freaking cool.
Congratulations,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, all good things. So that's where I'm from. And yeah.
Yeah, before we dive deep into Alabama and the sports that goes on there and what you're doing over there, why do you hate the Eagles? So who do you root for if you're not an Eagles fan? You want to do Phillies and Sixers, but not the Eagles. So where do your allegiance?
Are you a Flyer? Well, good. Yeah.
I'm a Flyers fan, yes. My dad was good friends with Brian Propp. So I will support them forever, and I love them. But yeah, I'm not an Eagles fan because, funny story, my dad's side of the family is all Eagles fans, but my dad is not. My dad is a Miami Dolphins fan because growing up, idolized Dan Marino. My mom is from Washington, D.C., so she's Washington Redskins, no name, whatever the heck they are now. She's a diehard Redskins fan. I was just when I was old enough to understand football and stuff, I think I was 10 or 9 or 10. I was okay, whoever wins the Super Bowl will be my team. And that year was the Indianapolis Colts when Peyton Manning led them to the Super Bowl.
Wow, okay.
I know, really odd. But I have been out with the Colts, and we'll see what happens when Wentz and all gets there. I'm not the biggest fan of Carson Wentz, but
hopefully. Why? Because he was an Eagle?
I mean, you have to understand, Eagles fans, I appreciate the passion that they bring, but they are hard to be in a stadium with, when they played the Redskins, my mom decided to wear a Redskins shirt into the Eagles stadium. And I was this is just great. We are going to die. But yeah, so that's why I hate the Eagles. But I did cheer for them when they were in the Super Bowl because everyone cheers against the Patriots.
Yes. Yeah, so. That we can all agree on.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess now it's the Bucks, but whatever. Goes, you know what I mean? But yeah, so that's why. But I'm a diehard Sixers fan, and we're doing okay as of now. And everyone, I say okay, even though we're doing fantastic. I say okay because they always get to the final. They're doing great, and then they always just disappoint us at the very end. So I'm trying to not sound too confident or jinx it. So I'm okay, they're doing okay, but they're actually doing pretty good.
Right now, your Sixers are down 9 to my Knicks, just to let you know.
Yeah, I did not get the update yet because I hadn't experienced. So we'll have to see. Because Embiid's out, so
got it. Yeah. So I want to get into the sports that you like, and obviously rowing. When did you first get into rowing? How did that all start for you? Was it when you were a kid, or was it as you were getting into high school, college? When did that start for you?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I needed a spring sport in high school, a third mm-hmm. sport. I played field hockey in the fall, and then I played basketball in the winter, and mm-hmm. I needed a third sport. So it was either track and field, lacrosse, or rowing. So we're at the high school sports career fair that they have for incoming freshmen. And literally my high school coach, who I'm still super close with, a dad mm-hmm. to me, pulled me out of the crowd, dragged me to go sign up for rowing. Cause he's you're 5'11", you're huge, almost 6 foot. You're a strong kid, you should try it. And I'm sitting here, what the heck is this? Well, I don't understand. And I was okay, fine, I'll try it. And I got out there and I was like, holy crap, this is so cool. But like I said, I play different sports. So a lot of times, like a lot of the girls that I row with now on Alabama have been rowing since they were 10. It's a year-round sport.
Wow.
So I literally kind of was considered a talent transfer because I only rowed in the spring. I literally went from state playoffs in basketball, like Monday, in a boat that Sunday. I completely like transitioned from sports in high school. So what happened was I was a sophomore in high school, and in order to get recruited in college, like they start around junior, summer of junior year. So we have this fitness test called, you know, 2000 meters on the rowing machine. So that's like your standard distance. It's, I don't know, maybe doing the mile run in like elementary school. So in order to go, I did not know this. So I just had no experience really on the erg, just like they're like, okay, just go for it. And I didn't know in order to get recruited for Division One, you have to pull 7 minutes, under 7 minutes and 30 seconds. That's considered really fast at the time. So I, like my first 2K, I went 7:27, and all the coaches were like freaking out. And then I had no idea what it meant. So I got a call from the University of Iowa July 1st going into my junior year of high school. And Alabama was the last school to reach out to me, like right before I went on my officials. I had Tennessee, Clemson, Old Dominion, Duke, Cal. Like I was just getting recruited. And I was just like, this is crazy. I don't even know what rowing really is. Yeah. I have some potential here. And yeah, and I came to Alabama and fell in love with the campus and the facilities and the support staff here. And I'm here 5 years later. Yeah, that's how my story became. Like my coach just said, hey, you look like a Big Sean kid. You would like it. And I fell in love with it. And that's the story.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. Now, was it at Alabama that you started your love or your curiosity for journalism? Is that where you picked it up?
No, actually, it's like a stereotypical story I feel like sometimes happens, but my dad and I like love what we would watch every Sunday football together, like from 1 p.m. until Sunday night football, yes. Every single game. My dad had the DirecTV like sports package. He had the dual screens and stuff, and he's all excited. So my dad, we saw Aaron Andrews, I forget what game it was, but it was Sunday night football. And my dad was like, hey, I was like in eighth grade. He's like, hey, you'd be good at something like that. And I was like, what, like a sports reporter? And he was like, yeah. Because I don't know why I wanted to be like a lawyer. Like in eighth grade at 11, you have no idea what you want to be. Yeah. So it was actually really funny. I was like, oh, yeah, that would be cool. And then like for basketball, I had a strength and conditioning coach I would go to twice a week. And I was talking to him like, oh, yeah, like my dad said I would be really cool for sports reporting. He's like, do you want to do it? I was like, yeah. He goes, okay, he trained some professional athletes. So he was training Jack Crawford of the Dallas Cowboys because he was a local boy from New Jersey. He went to St. Augustine Prep. He's like, you're going to interview Jack Crawford. I'm like, I'm going to what? He was like, at 11 years old, I had no experience at all. He set up his phone, like this little camcorder. And I was like, this is ridiculous. It was like, if you look at it, if you go on my YouTube page, you'll see this interview is completely cringe. Like my little self, like having no idea, you know? And like, luckily Jack was like really nice, like really patient with me. And ever since then I was just like, hey, like I could do this. And then my high school had a really good media program. I did commentary for them when I could, when I wasn't playing basketball, I did it for the men. And then I came here and I knew Alabama had a really good sports broadcasting program because us in Syracuse are one of the only schools that have an actual TV station.
Yep.
On campus. Wow.
Yeah. So I knew since then, I was like, hey, this is a school for me. And also the sports environment here is great because Alabama doesn't have any professional teams. So even rowing, like we get 200 fans out to our race. Like it's a huge sports community down here. And I think that's why I just wanted to definitely come to a huge sports school for the journalism aspect.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, I'm learning a lot. Like first off, the Alabama and Syracuse, the only ones with a TV studio. And then rowing is just like really sought after skill and sport. I obviously all the traditional ones, but it's mind blowing to know that they're giving out full rides for rowing.
Yeah. We're the sport that balances out football. With Title IX. So they have to. So that's, it's really cool because, you know, you get the whole stereotypical, oh, football is just here to get like a degree and go right to the pros. But hey, they're the sport that balances me out and gives me the opportunity to be here. I respect the crap out of them. And also too, we get everything that we get. We get to train in the same weight room and eat in the same dining hall as them. That's what drew me to Alabama so much, is because like at Clemson, football has their own facility and all the other athletes have another one, which is still a great facility. But the fact that I get to still train and be a part of the Alabama culture that the national champions are a part of, like how freaking awesome of a culture is that, stepping into that environment? It's like, it's priceless. So yeah, so that's kind of how it all came about.
Absolutely. Obviously you licked your chops a little bit in high school, interviewing Jack Crawford. So when you got to college and you started pursuing that broadcasting side, what was your first like assignment or first gig that you got?
Okay, this is actually really funny. I feel like I have so many funny stories when you think about it.
Share them, please. Yeah.
Yeah, we got time.
Okay, so I auditioned. So we have an ESPN affiliate here with the SEC Network. It's Crimson Tide Productions. So we're in charge of all the Alabama events, like softball, baseball, football. Every single sport here that goes through SEC Network and ESPN is done through the production studio that's right down the hall from the local news station. So there was on-air tryouts when I was a freshman. And I remember I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up. And there was like 200 people that signed up. I'm like, oh boy, I'm not going to get it. And I remember we were late for practice. Like we went over time. So I didn't have time to get ready for the interview. So I show up in my practice clothes, like dripping sweat, like disgusting. And I'm waiting in line with people in full on tuxes, like girls in dresses, full done makeup. And then there's me with my Alabama rowing shirt coming from practice, still dripping wet, 100 degrees down Alabama. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really embarrassing. So I get in there and I just show them my, like what I did in high school and just start talking. And I got hired. I was one of 20 kids that they hired that year. And out of my year, I was the only one out of my grade that stuck with the on-air, because a lot of people went to production and fell in love with technical directing. We're making graphics, we're creative shooting. So I was one of the only ones left. So my first assignment was covering men and women's tennis. No idea about tennis, nothing. No idea. But also, our tennis players are all international. You're already nervous enough. I had no idea what to do. And luckily enough, I had someone who was a camera guy that came with me the first time. And then the rest of the time I shot my own stuff, because I'm like, I don't need a camera guy. I can do this myself. I gotta do this myself. But yeah, so that was my first assignment. It was men's and women's tennis. And also too, I think helping the fact that I was an athlete doing this made it easier and made me connect with the athletes more, because they're like, they get a little nervous when they're about to be on camera and they're about to go live. So I think that really helped, and that really helped develop the relationship I have with all the Alabama coaches here. Like they know, I know what they do and they know what I do. And I think it just gains that mutual respect.
That's and awesome. What's the relationship like between the people that cover the teams and the coaches and the players? Is it very friendly? Is it very cordial? Or is, let's say, for example, the football team was very, or the basketball team, can they be a little distant? What's the relationship between you guys?
I think every reporter has a chance and opportunity to create their own relationship with every single athlete and every single coach that they encounter. And I've encountered everyone from the soccer coach, Wes Hart, to Patrick Murphy, who I'm very close with, and to even Nick Saban. I had one opportunity to ask Nick Saban a question, and I think it was the scariest moment of my life. You know what I mean? So we have opportunities, and I've interviewed two after games, and I've interviewed Jalen, but I think because like they see me in study hall, they see me in class, like, hey, it's okay. She's cool. Like, she's not going to ask any questions that like will stump us or make us feel uncomfortable. And I think also I always tell the people I train, like the new freshmen that come in, I'm like, hey, like you have to understand that they're people too. Yeah, they're on TV and yeah, it's Nick Saban and stuff, but you have to understand that they're a person as well. So I always treat them the same way like I would want to be treated. Like, for example, a softball player and they lost a tough game. I'm like, hey, I have to do this interview with you, just you and I. you can start. This is if it's not live, I'm like, hey, you can start over again. I'll help you guide through. I'll help you guide through the questions. But I'm going to ask you one or two questions because I know you want to get out of here because you lost. You have to have that respect for them and understand that their time. And I think just also too, trying to get to know them and trying to get to know the sport really helps. Like I said, I knew nothing about tennis. So if I saw that to tennis coach, George Husak, who was the men's tennis coach, and Jenny Means, who's the women's tennis coach, if I saw they had a free moment, I'm like, hey, like, I didn't understand why the ball was considered not a point, a set point on court five. Can you like tell me why that was? Like, I'm still trying to learn. And they see how interested you are in that. So I think it's just treating them like human beings and just not, they're not, yeah, they have a script A on their chest and yeah, they may have had the game winning shot. At the end of the day, they put their pants on the same way that we do. So I think just letting them know that makes them feel a lot more comfortable.
So you've been down in Tuscaloosa, right? In Alabama. What is the most memorable sports event that you've covered in your time down there in Alabama?
Okay. So my most memorable one was LSU in Alabama, Joe Burrow versus two, number one versus number two.
Okay.
College game day was here. So the funnest part, that was a very long day for me because I had to miss practice. So I had the opportunity to cover college game day and meet Reese Davis and all that stuff. And then also SEC Network was going on at the same time. Uh-huh. So I had a chance to cover it as a student reporter. And I had practice during the show, obviously. So coach made me get up at 3 because I had to be there by 5. I did the workout at 3 on my own. And then I was on the station by 5:30. But that game, there were so many people coming to LSU Alabama. The president was coming. So you had to be screened and background checked and stuff and had your camera gone through by Secret Service, which was like the craziest thing I've ever had to experience.
Wow.
So that was a very long day. So I covered college game day, covered SEC Network, had to get in the studio by a certain time because our studio for Crimson Tide Productions is in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So okay. I just walked onto the field. So I was able to go through the student section during the LSU Alabama game. And you guys know how tight of a game that was. And I was just covering it, asking fans questions and stuff. Really a lot of fun. And then as we know, Alabama lost a tough one. So we had to interview the players afterwards. And yeah, I didn't get out of the station until 3 a.m. It was just a memorable experience just to be like there from 3 to 3, basically a whole like basically 24 hours. But that was just something so memorable. And I will never forget that.
That's incredible. It's an incredible story.
No, that is amazing. We have got a fan in the audience, Mr. Nithin, a good friend of the show.
He is a good friend of mine. I was his former co-host, but he was grad school. And rowing, I had to step aside. But that's not fair to him, like with me not being able to help him out. So I'm so glad he found another co-host. I still listen. I still support them and I miss it so much. But yeah, just due to my grad studies and stuff and rowing, I just couldn't be able. But hi, Nathan. I miss you so much. We spoke today. So.
Yeah. No, he's doing great stuff over there.
Yeah,
he's 730 episodes.
Yeah, that's just something
he's
incredible.
Just pumping him out.
Some
of the names
every day.
Some of the names that you guys were getting, it was crazy to see some of the people that were coming on. Did you reach out to some, or was it more Nathan booking them?
Like here and there, we both tag team, but it was mostly him because like he would reach out to people without me even knowing. He's like, "Hey, we got an interview on Thursday at 11." I'm like, "With who?" I thought we had someone at 12, and he was like, "No, we have someone before that too." And I'm just like, "Whoa, okay, mind blown." So yeah, he definitely just reaches out. And one thing I respect, like he just constantly like pushes and pushes for these people to come onto the show, which I think is such a great thing to always, I'm going to go after what I want and what I want to make this out of. So he's definitely awesome.
Yeah, no, it's definitely putting in the work because he's getting everyone and he's getting big names. So good job out there, Nathan. Keep up the good work. You're meant for big things. He says that he misses you too.
Aw.
So now you're at school, you're working on the master's. So how much time you have left? And then what is your plan for when you graduate? What is your plan out of college?
So my plan, my focus right now is I have 2 months left in my athletic career. And due to the amazing athletic staff here and Greg Byrne, the athletic director, he was able to bring some of us seniors back who's season last year was canceled. So right now for me, as Alabama rowing is still a pretty young program, we're about 12 years old. We're like still the newest sport on campus, I would say. And we have never made the national championships, and 24 teams get to go every year. And there were 17 seniors last year, and our goal, and we knew it deep down how fast we were going to make NCAAs for the first time. And now the seven of us that are left, the super seniors, I think it's the back of our minds, like we're doing it for the girls who didn't have the opportunity to come back this year. So to be able to make program history and go and have, like, that's just something I never thought would happen in my 5 years here. So that's kind of like my step is to finish. Like, I'm so thankful that I got a chance to say goodbye to something I was doing for so long. So that's very exciting for me. And then also too, I'm looking for jobs right now. you know, that struggle, like, I did, you know, some sideline stuff for SEC Network when I was a senior. And when I was talking to a couple people, like Karen Burke, who does sideline for the Golden State Warriors, she's like, at 21 years old, you did sideline for SEC Network. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. And I was just like, it just happened through my internship. And I don't know. They wanted me to do it. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. But yeah, no, I'm just like trying to get my real polished interview prep. Here at Alabama, we have a career like advisor and stuff. So she's been helping me go through those mock interviews and stuff. And I'm still working at the local TV station, and I'll be here hopefully this summer helping out with anchoring and stuff. So I'm just looking for a job and just looking for a station where a team or someone who will let me be their voice and tell their athletes' stories and get to share with the community. So that's my next step.
Those are incredible. Now, let me ask you this. If you got an opportunity not to do sports, would you jump at that?
Oh, yes. Anything. I think right now, especially with the times that we're living in, if you get a job, if you get hired, like, that's such a blessing because everyone, you know, I came back to get my master's because, like, I was in the process of getting hired, but due to COVID and due to other people who have more experience than me, they got the job over me. So I think if it was news, if it's traffic, I'll do it. If it's being the voiceover, like, for, coming up on next today, like, I don't know, like, coming up at 6, like, be that little voiceover, I'll do it. Like, I will do everything. So, yeah, we're just, like, working in radio. We're working like podcasting or being the intern that runs a good coffee, like anything. Like, I'm just looking to get hired.
Now, you are a Jersey girl. Have you thought of maybe coming back up to the East Coast and trying to some of the WFAN? Obviously, is a big radio, sports radio here. One big one in Philly too. Yeah. ESPN radio. So, you know, have you any thoughts on that?
Yeah, my mom wants me to come home. Like, but I love the South. Like, I think there's so many opportunities down here with college athletics, especially with the SEC and just maybe Big 12 out like in Texas and stuff. I would love to go anywhere at this point, but I go home, and if I'm in Philly or if I'm up near Penn State, New York, my mother will be happy. My grandmother would be even more happy, to be honest. Wherever the wind takes me, if it's in middle of nowhere, Wyoming, that's where you start. So, because you have to work your way up in this business. So
I applaud the hustle. I respect it. I think that's great.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Very admirable. And obviously you're a hard worker to get the opportunities that you've gotten already so far. Yeah. And it's a testament of your hard work and the effort you put in and day out. Hey, down the line, you're playing the field, wants to start a whole podcast network. So when we start developing more shows, definitely going to come calling if you haven't landed your dream job. It would be like one or 2 days a week anyway, so it wouldn't be anything crazy.
Listen, if you ever wanted to co-host this show, more than welcome.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it.
But I think she had to – she couldn't handle with the Nithin show with everything she's got going on. But yeah. After school's over.
If you ever wanted to host, you're more than
welcome. I can be anybody's co-host. It's just I didn't realize with grad school, it's a lot of work. It's the master's project I'm trying to get done, so – in order to graduate, and then rowing, especially being in season, we're 20 plus hours a week before competition. Wow. So I have 2 to 3 practices a day. So it got too much. And that wasn't fair to the people, especially Nathan, like people that were counting on me to do stuff. Cause I'm the type of person, if I'm not in 100%, then I feel really bad and really guilty not giving it my 100%. But
So sorry. So you love, you know, the college athletics and you love, you know, being down there in the South. Would you, for like your dream job, would you like to, you know, cover entire leagues nationally, or was there a certain team that you would love to just stick to and cover?
See, I would love to go right into women's sports, especially the WNBA. I would love to do sideline reporting for any sport, be a studio host, but I want to be in the booth. I've always wanted to comment. Okay. That's something I've never gotten a chance to do here. And unfortunately, it's not because it's nothing like against, a girl's doing it. It's just we didn't have the opportunities here to do it. So I would love to get into a booth and I would love to call the game or analyze it. My mentor is Eli Gold, who's the voice of Alabama football. And I brought to work sideline shows with him. And he always inspires me to keep on pushing for that goal because you can do it. Cause he just, I don't know, he's the best. Like if you guys, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's so legendary down here. And the fact that I have a mentor like that, who's in the booth saying, hey, I don't care if you're a guy, girl, like whatever. Like you can do it. So that's something that would be my dream job, is to be a play-by-play commentator for the WNBA. Any sport, but I would love to cover women's sports.
That's awesome. Rick, do you got anything?
No, I was just going to say, it's just incredible. Your passion, your hunger. I respect it. And I look forward to seeing you, hearing your play-by-play one day in a booth or watching the game or what have you. I wish you nothing but the best. And again, if you ever wanted to co-host our show, once you're done with school, the door's open. You can come here anytime.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you are always welcome. I guess we'll leave you with this one. Where do you think Devonta Smith ends up?
I had this conversation with my father recently, and I think he might go to Miami. I don't know. Maybe Miami. Maybe, I don't know. He's just so talented. It just really depends on who needs the receiver. And like right now, but we were also talking about Najee going to Miami. Because if you look at the Miami Dolphins right now, like you have your good tight ends. You don't have anybody who can run the ball. And that's what Tua is so used to sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I really think we need that guy to really create those offensive plays for them. So, yeah, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see where a Heisman Trophy winner ends up. And I know there's some rumors going around that Mac's going to New Orleans or something. Like whatever. We'll see how that goes. But so interesting.
But you think
they got two quarterbacks over there now.
I know, but I saw something on Twitter like, Mac Jones Saints by Drew Brees, and I'm like, maybe not. Or maybe maybe the Patriots. I don't know.
You see Mac going in the top 10? Because I could see a scenario where teams jump up and he goes in the top 10.
Yeah, I think he could, to be honest. The development he's made in over a year, like how coachable he is, and how, I don't know if you guys have obviously seen stuff on him. He literally is so focused and so determined to do well that I think he'll do anywhere. That's why I think Jalen Hurts was going to be a fantastic pro, because he's so coachable and he's so adaptable to different things. And I think he'll grow every year in the league. And I think Mac will do the same thing. And also too, it's you have the talent, you have the coachability, but also with Mac, I think in a way you have the star power coming from Alabama, and also coming from his personality. He's a kind of a remarkable attitude. He gives a lot to the community. So wherever he ends up, he'll be a huge part of community service. Like, I think any team would be lucky to have someone like him. Because I think that's what the Eagles are doing with Jalen. They're making him the it guy, like the person that like is their remarkable figure. So that's just my take on it. Who knows? So.
There you have it. The NFL draft breakdown.
I know. Well, one thing that's really sad, though, I did not do a March Madness bracket yet. And I really need to do that. I need to get my NFL stuff in order. I need to do all that.
Yeah, we're going to do a whole big NFL breakdown right after we sign off with you and, you know, talk about all the crazy free agency stuff going on in the last couple of days. But what is the atmosphere over there? Because I know they don't have a professional sports team. Do they go towards the Saints? Where do their allegiances lie on the football side?
on the football side? I really don't know, because on a college campus there's so many.
It's all college.
Alabama folk like literally think Auburn and Alabama are their professional teams, because they are. Yes, maybe Falcons. I see a lot of Atlanta Falcons fan, because Atlanta's only like 3 hours away. Maybe some New Orleans Saints fans, probably because of Louisiana. Tennessee Titans. A lot of kids from Tennessee are come to Alabama. So yeah, I did see a couple rocking around, because I think I'm like, okay. Hey,
were they actually Bucks fans, or were they Bucks fans?
Yeah. Bucks fans,
exactly.
So I know I was busting my friend on that one, because he came in with a Tom Brady jersey from the Bucks. I'm like, ha, okay, you weren't like that last year.
I do have one final one. Who's the person on the University of Alabama football team, whether it's Saban, who recruits all these wide receivers? It is incredible, the wide receivers that come out of that program. You have Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Henry Ruggs. Obviously, Devonta Smith is coming out. There's another one that's on the team that's going to go into the draft. Is it Jalen Watt? Is it Waddle?
Jalen Waddle. Yeah. He's hurt this year.
I mean, who recruits these kids? It's incredible.
It's a new recruiting class like every year, because a couple times it was Sarkisian, who's now.
Yeah, C. Sarkisian.
And then you have the old Miss coach. I don't know why am I blanking on his name, because he's Lane Kiffin. Literally, he just did not run the ball at all when he was offensive coordinator. But so it's just like, it's really the Alabama factor. Like, these kids are so, like, I have a friend who now just made it to the starting lineup of the, he'll probably start at, I don't know, tackle or something. Okay. Like, finally made it. But he's a five-star coming out of his high school, and he's at, during his junior year, he's finally going to get the start, because he was okay with being the second and third string, because he knew this program was going to get him to the pros.
Yeah.
He'll get to follow behind the group that came before. Yeah. It's just like literally that dynasty mindset. And I think it just doesn't matter who comes in and recruits these kids. It's just like what Nick's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose her?
I think we lost her. Ariel, I think you froze. Ariel, we lost her.
Oh, hello?
Oh, well, there she is. Yeah, oh, you got me back.
I was talking to myself there for a little while.
You look like you were holding a beer, but, you know.
I wish I was holding a beer.
Yeah, hey, same here. But
it's dry season for us, for athletics, so we're in season. But I know, I just think the process of, like, where legends are made, and this is the dynasty, and this is where you want to be, is what Nick Saban has really entailed in his football team, but also within all athletics themselves.
Ariel, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You are awesome. I love the hustle. Yeah. I can't wait to hear you on a game or wherever you
WNBA game.
WNBA, NFL, it doesn't matter. You know, wherever you take it. Yeah.
Thank you all so much for having me. Again, I haven't done many podcast appearances as a guest, so this was really cool for me. I hope I did okay. And
we call it a TV show now. This is like a TV.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Okay, I have never been on a TV show, so like this is like
you're gonna be on IMDb, so there you go.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
And let us know again when you have some free time, you want to co-host, love to co-host a show with you.
Totally. I would love for you guys to look at my stuff and like work with you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
So
thank you very much.
Thank you, Ariel. Appreciate it.
Keep up all the great work.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good night. Bye bye.
She was awesome, man. She's great.
Driven, yeah. And she's very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah,
and
great personality.
Throwing out hardball questions and talking about recruiting, and she knows the ins and outs of it all.
Yeah, I got to know who's recruiting these kids over there, man.
Right? I know.
I wish we had Henry Ruggs, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Jalen Hurts. But Matt, I think Mac Jones is going to be a top 10 pick. Talking about the draft coming up, but this weekend, obviously Monday, the tampering period started with NFL free agency. And what a frenzy it's been. The New England Patriots said, you know what? We can't draft well, so we're just going to buy the league. Yeah, Hunter Henry today.
Donovan Smith yesterday. So it's going to be Gronk Hernandez version 2.
2.0.
Resign Cam Newton. Sign Nelson Aguilar.
Aguilar, yep.
And they did not get Kenny Golladay.
They did not. I got fooled. Thanks, NFL memes, for fooling me there.
No, it wasn't NFL memes. It was super real NFL news.
Exactly. And it's just incredible what they have done. in terms of free agency.
Unbelievable. Like,
I mean, Belichick said, you know what? We're opening the pocketbook and we're gonna make these moves. And let's not forget that the Patriots had 8 guys who didn't play last year.
Mm-hmm. They're definitely gonna be making a splash
this
year, without a doubt.
And the Giants just re-signed Leonard Williams, a 3-year, $63 million deal. Joe Thuney went to the Chiefs for a 5-year, $80 million deal.
Mm-hmm. The Giants also got a wide receiver. Oh, John Ross, a little before we signed on. And the Jets got Corey Davis. You know, I don't know. I'm not really sold on Corey Davis. He's like up and down. He's up and down,
but I think he's matured. He's going to be 26 going into this kind of offense. I think he'll be okay. Now, and then if you're the Jets, you have Denzel Mims. You have Denzel Mims on the outside. You have Corey Davis on the outside. Chris Herndon at your tight end. You have Jameson Crowder on the inside.
Have Jameson Crowder?
He's still there. I don't know if they released him or not yet, but he's still there. And I'm just thinking, look, if I'm the Jets and I'm keeping Sam Darnold, I'm moving back and I'm trading. If Kyle Randall wants to trade up, we'll trade up. If Kyle Pitts is there at 8, you take him. Mm-hmm. Load up that offense, man. And then at 23, if the kid from Clemson, Etienne, I believe his name was Christian Etienne or whatever I think his name is, the running back out of Clemson, they're making comparisons to Alvin Kamara, man. You take that kid.
Yeah.
And you're ready to roll. And then I heard somebody today talking about Chris Carson is out there. So there's a lot of things. But this free agency has been wild, man. It's just been
wild. And the Saints released Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. And he promptly signed with the Buffalo Bills. I think that's a good signing. Mm. Is Cole Beasley still there?
I believe he is, yes.
Sanders, Diggs, and Beasley. That's a pretty nice threesome of wide receivers there.
Absolutely.
And, they did try for Gronk, but
they made a play for Gronk, but he's not even Brady.
Yeah, I know. Even to go home.
Yeah.
How do you leave Brady? Which, by the way, Brady did sign an extension. We were supposed to mention that. And he also gave out his cell phone number on Twitter.
Yes. Tom, I don't know if you're watching, but if you are, I texted today to come on the show.
Yeah, well, you told him to watch. So
I told him to check it out.
Expect that he's watching right
now. Yeah, so if you happen to be watching, I texted you today. So if you want to come on and share your stories, man, your experiences, love to have you on the show. From two disgruntled Jet fans.
Yeah. We're not going to drop any "you suck" texts.
No, we respect the work.
Yeah,
What about the Bears signing Andy Dalton to a 1-year, $10 million contract? It looks like the Russell Wilson thing is not happening.
1 year, $10 million with the possibility for 13.
Oh, really? There are incentives in that. I didn't see
that. $3 million in incentives too. So
you give Andy Dalton $13 million.
I don't, because I don't have $13 million.
Right. Well, you don't. But I'm saying, would you sign?
Nah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the Bucks are trying to re-sign it in Dominican Sue.
Oh, is that what's next in the works for them?
Yeah. Yeah, Shaq Barrett re-signed with them. He took some less money.
Yes, he did. Who else? The Jets got Carl Lawson. I think you mentioned that.
So the Jets got Carl Lawson. Yeah. They got Corey Davis, and they got the linebacker.
Yes. Yes.
What was the name of the kid? Hold on. Let me find out who his name is.
I can't remember, but we had Marvin Jones going to the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars. Norris Jenkins has agreed to go to Tennessee. Re-signed Beecham. Marquise Goodwin reversed back to the 49ers from prior trade with Eagles. Wait, wasn't Marquise Goodwin already on the Niners?
Well, I thought he was.
Dolphins signing Malcolm Brown. I didn't see that one. Now I'm seeing it. So we were just talking about them drafting Harris. But there's also talks about the Dolphins in play for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be interesting. But
Aaron Jones signed back with the Packers,
yes,
by the way.
And the Chiefs cut Damian Williams.
The Chiefs cut
the Damian running back Williams. From
the Super Bowl. Yeah.
The Super Bowl. They cut him. So it's been a crazy 40 hours.
Eagles are giving Zach Ertz permission to seek out a trade.
The Eagles are breaking it down.
Unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
This is like this is a pretty intense 48 hours.
Yeah, it is. And here's the thing. Kenny Galladay's still out there. Nobody signed him. Juju Smith-Schuster's still out there. Nobody signed him.
Yep. You know,
is anybody going to sign these guys? They're not going to get – and I think they overestimated
the value. Team Griffin went down to Jacksonville as well. And brother might be joining him.
Okay.
You never know. It's a possibility. I think the Griffin boys will both be out of Seattle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's funny about Seattle. What's that going to be like if Wilson doesn't get traded, man? What's it going to be like him walking into that locker room again? Is that relationship toxic with him and Pete Carroll? Can they get along? Can they coexist?
It's tough. It's going to be tough.
And Tyrod Taylor signed with the Texans.
Oh, yes. Yes, I saw that
too. If you're Deshaun Watson, it doesn't look like they're going to let you out of your contract. So what are you going to do? You sit out the year?
I heard them talking about it on the radio a lot today. And it's just, you have to imagine that, first off, if they don't trade him before the draft, the Texans are just morons.
Oh, yeah. They completely blew that.
They have an unbelievable amount of draft capital that they can get back for him. So they should be capitalizing on it. And right now, they still got a month. They got 40 days left until the draft.
Yeah,
so they got 40 days to really figure it out. Is it going to be a draft day type of deal? I don't know. That's a pretty big deal to make it, hey, on the clock type of deal. I think something needs to be done before we actually start the draft. But
yeah,
if it my worst case, that's when it's going to have to happen. Because if you wait until after the draft, you are doing your team a disservice. Because he's not going to... Okay, even if he does play, I see sore backs and hamstrings and things that you can't prove.
Exactly.
That are an injury, so he could just get his money and not have to play. It's not the way to go about things, but at the same time, like he's saying, I just want out.
That's pretty, but I this is
he's
a game
saying
of chicken,
I want
man.
Out. It's not like it's he's given them every opportunity to just find a suitable trade partner, and we'll see what happens. But the Russell Wilson to the Bears is most likely not going to happen.
That's not happening. Yeah,
and you can't flip them. You can't flip flop the two of them because Russell Wilson's not going to want to play in Houston, and Watson's not going to want to play in Seattle. So there's two teams. Right off that bat that you can't trade to.
Look, I'm at the end of the day, I think Deshaun Watson is going to end up in Miami. I think Miami's going to put a package together. He's going to end up there. I don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson. I don't know because I don't know where else is he going to play. I don't know where else he can play. I don't know where else he wants to go. So I don't know. There's another guy who's out there who can be traded for, and I think that's OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. is on the Browns right now. I think he can be had. If I am Joe Douglas, I am making that phone call.
Oh, I'm bringing him to the Jets.
Yes. I'm Joe Douglas. I'm bringing him in. It solves the receiver problem. He's only, 26 maybe, 27?
Yeah.
Hey, hear me out. He's been banged up, and yes, he's been hurt. But I think he's matured now. He's a mature player. He's not going to Paris and getting caught eating pizza and God knows what and marrying kicking nets and stuff like that. I think he would be a great fit for the Jets and whoever they draft at number two. And it's either going to be Zach Wilson or they're trading down. It's going to be Trey Lance. And but if he's out there, man, as GM, I'd be intrigued. What would you give? Cleveland for that. I'd give him a third round pick. Why not?
Oh, yeah, I would. I don't think that's what it's going to take though.
He's not giving a first round pick for him. Come on. I'm not giving up.
Why did you go from third to first? Second.
No. Not with all the injury history. I'd give him a third round pick for him. Call it a day. Or I trade Sam, and then when I get back, I trade for Odell. How about that?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's definitely feasible that Odell Beckham does not start the season in a Browns uniform. So I'm with you there. It is a possibility. Did we mention Fitzmagic on his 19th?
That guy, 19.
On his 19th, and he's... going to the
team
with no name.
Yeah,
the team with no name.
What they offer him? $10 million?
1 year, $10 million, I believe. Yeah,
yeah. That guy, man, he's just look. He can. And how old is he, by the way? Late 30s, maybe?
No. I think he didn't clear 40?
Well, I don't
he
know.
He hasn't cleared 40. I mean, the guy's been on nine teams. Nine.
Brian Fitzpatrick. Let's see.
38 years. Wow.
He is 38 years old. Man, he could play for another four years if he wanted to.
5 years younger than Tom Brady. Wow. He's Roethlisberger's age. Roethlisberger just turned 39.
Yeah. So think about it. He can make $10 million a year. He can make another $40 million if he wanted to.
He could. Wow. How many teams do you think he plays for?
He might play for a couple more teams, man. Teams that are looking for starters. Teams that are looking for, you know, help. Like, eventually he's going to back somebody up, back up a young kid. That's what the Jets are going to need with one of the kids they draft. Unless they bring back Flacco, but I don't see that happening. But man, this has been a crazy 48 hours, dude. Like, I've been looking at my phone and just things have been popping up. And it's funny.
It's been insane. And then we still got another couple days before we hit the air again. And I'm sure more craziness is going to ensue in the next few, in the next 48.
And then we get ready for the NFL draft. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. And, dude, we're only a couple of weeks away from
opening day.
Hey, baseball.
Yeah. And as the Knicks go down by four, unbelievable. Can't hit a shot. But anyway.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I had a friend wanted me to make an honorable mention that the Islanders are doing very well in the standings. Okay. There's your Islanders plug right there.
There's your Islanders plug. Right. Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful.
Because we don't talk hockey enough.
Yes,
so
we
got to get better with hockey. And
We want to thank our guests, Ariel Schaefer, for coming on. Our friend Max Monterey from Sports Trace coming on tonight. Yeah. It was a great show, Mike.
It was an amazing show.
Yep. And hopefully when we come back Thursday night, man, there's some explosive news.
Well, maybe one of these quarterbacks get moved. Or maybe the Jets make some kind of a blockbuster move to give us a little bit of hope to go into the next football season. But the Patriots pretty much running away with the show at this point.
Yeah, they are the free agent offseason champions. Right now.
Jonnu Smith wasn't enough. They're like, nah, let's go get Hunter Henry too.
Yeah, they might draft another tight end the way they're going.
Yeah, you're going to get Pitts.
Smith. Man. Dude, if they get Pitts, I will. That'll break my heart.
That would be the Pitts.
That would be the Pitts. Yeah.
Oh shit! Yeah. All right. It was a great show. Yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We will see you Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a good night, everybody.
Peace, everybody.